Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Success in farming is all about precision efficiency, ensuring every seed, every drop of water, every nutrient and treatment counts. TerraPlex Ag is helping farmers all over Iowa and the Midwest do just that. With precision ag drone technology and support from TerraPlex, you'll boost your productivity and make timely and informed decisions, all while reducing your costs and increasing your profit. It's time to revolutionize your farming. Harvest the benefits with TerraPlex Ag. Visit TerraPlexAg.com.
The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is fueled by Cody Road and recorded in the Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Studio.
Wipes a bloom on a Tuesday. No Wednesday show this week. This is the first Williams and Bloom pod, the first Cyclone Fanatic pod ever from the Wild Rose Casino Studios that is in the Des Moines International Airport.
Yeah.
Little delay on the way to Boston. Called Bloom up and I said, hey, let's get this thing knocked out because tomorrow's going to be crazy and then Thursday is going to be nuts. So here we are. We are presented by our friends at MechDyne and the MechDyne Corporation, fueled as always by Cody Road Bourbon. I also want to give a shout out to our friends at Plaza RV who are sponsoring us here during the months of March and April on Cyclone Fanatic. If you've ever thought about the camping deal. Sorry,
I'm getting buzzed.
Yeah, Bloom's done some camping.
They make it easy for you.
With our friends from Plaza RV, of course. For real, I've bought two campers now from them. It's a phenomenal company located in Bondurant. Local people, they support Iowa State a lot. And hit me up even if you need any recommendations. I'll send you right over there to my buddy Scott and the guys Austin over there at Plaza RV. Something to start thinking about. Weather's going to turn here. What about you, Bloom? How's your day? But hopefully better than mine thus far.
Yeah, you're just having all the fun luck. No, all good. All good on our end. Just keeping the thing rolling. Portal's still open. So wewillcollective.com, always a reminder.
They did get a commitment yesterday.
Things are doing okay. We're doing okay. But honestly, you can never have enough. The market's still pretty crazy, just be honest. And we're just trying to thank goodness that Iowa State has TJ and this staff. I'll just put it that way. I mean, just complete rock stars in this space. I love it that they're going to work and they still are able to. I mean, he's three steps ahead. I mean, that's what makes TJ so good and why we are super lucky to have him, his culture, his staff, the players, everybody gets it. And we're trying to stay a couple steps ahead of everybody else today.
Let's talk real quick. The majority of the show will be Iowa State and Illinois, but I do want to touch on DeSean Jackson. Is it DeSean?
I believe so. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. DeSean Jackson, center from Charlotte. 6'11", averaged 11.4 points, 6.1 rebounds a year ago. He was originally a Washington State guy. Now, did a little more research. He had committed to Texas Tech. So there are other Big 12 schools. He had this health problem that I'm not really sure what it was, but that is taken care of now. Ends up at Charlotte. Now he's coming to Iowa State. And I haven't had as much time, Brent, as I would like to scout this kid. But he looked to me just in the very short amount of time that I've seen him, almost like a Rob Jones Hassan Ward hybrid, who's probably a better shooter than either one of those guys. Probably not as good of a rim protector as Ward.
Nope.
But he can block shots. 72% free throw shooter. So that's an upgrade from Jones. Clearly a downgrade as you're losing Jones and the experience and the leadership. But I mean, what a hell of a start, right? Like, there were other high majors all over him. Indiana, Xavier, to name a few. Great start to the portal.
Yeah, awesome. You guys are gonna love this guy. I mean, plays super hard, wants to win. It was actually, the connection here is Jazz Kuntz, of all people. Yeah.
Crazy enough, isn't that wild? Good job, Connor Ferguson.
That was great.
Pulled that nugget out of him in an interview yesterday.
But, you know, Jackson was started at Washington State, played with Jazz there, and Jazz basically told him, if you go to Iowa State, get ready to win. And that's what he wants to do. So you're right. Big kid, very physical. I would say the question mark, as you said, is rim protection. And that's where Ward was so good. But I would say a little bit more skilled than both those guys. And but we'll see. I mean, you got to buy in. I think what Ward and Jones proved that even from when they both started, both didn't buy in necessarily right away defensively. They got there. And so I think that's the question for Jackson. But, yeah, I think Iowa State obviously knew it had to address the big man in the portal, did that. And I think there's still some adds to be made to add some more depth there. But to – huge news, because one, it makes you feel a little bit better, and then also I think it gives your current guys on the roster, hey, you know, we're not going to be content.
Great point.
We're going to go out, be aggressive. And so
those guards look at what you're doing and they say, oh, we've got reinforcements coming in.
It's the same. It's just like professional sports, honestly, guys. Like,
yeah,
your current guys want to make sure that you're still being proactive and making sure the roster is as good as it gets, and there's no reason to believe that next year can't be just as great as this year.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm guessing right now, and I put out a little piece on our premium board and for our Patreon subscribers. Really great time of year to be a member of that, by the way. Shameless plug right there. Everybody knew this was coming, who was a subscriber. But my guess now is, so Xavion Mitchell, we touched on him.
25 kid. Yep.
I'm guessing they'll take one more prep in 25. Hopefully Jamarian Bateman, the shooter out of Wisconsin. That would be the ideal. And then they hit on all three of their guys, really, with Moore, Mitchell.
Yeah, then 25 looks really good. Yeah.
If they get, I mean, right now, and it's so early, it doesn't mean anything. They're currently the second ranked recruiting class in the country, but that will change. They're not getting they're getting solid top 150 guys, but it's not like crazy ranking guys, but that doesn't mean everything, as we all know. I would guess, depending on how the portal shakes out for Iowa State, and there will be guys leave, right? Like, just, we have to censor our minds to, like, just because one guy leaves or two guys, it doesn't mean anything's wrong. It just means they want more opportunities, or you're upgrading your roster. I mean, it's college sports in 2024. It's just like football. I mean, most of those guys leave and they go down. There's not that many Tyrese Hunters out there. So it'll depend on that. But you go out, you're going to get at least one more big, I would think, to go with what, JT Rock and Omaha Ballou. Will depend on if those guys stick around, right? Like, I would assume Rock would, because he was a true redshirt. But, I mean, I would assume that guys like Watson and Ballou could potentially look around and see if they could, or Pavelski, and be like, can we play more else? What do they want? We'll figure that out when the season's over. I hope they all stay, because I love all of them as players. But don't you got to add one more big, I would think, this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, it's a numbers game. I mean, you only have so many scholarships. So if you're going to add more people, then, I mean, obviously it's got how many preps coming in next year already. So you just, again, you got to piece these things together. And FYI, I think people give me kind of a hard time, or maybe too much credit. I'm not involved in restructuring the team. You know, we do.
You're not the general manager.
We do the fundraising, and we go from there. But yeah, I think it's it'll be interesting to see what happens here. I think Iowa State, you know, if it can keep this this roster intact, add the big guy, add another big, I think you could maybe even get a shooter as well. I think it's in the obviously it's in the market for that now, depending on how things shake out.
Don't forget about my guy Noyes.
Well, that's I wanted to bring him up. I mean, I think you guys, he's going to be really good. And he is,
I love him.
He is going to be really. He will play. I don't think there's any question. And he's an instant shooter type, and he's got size at that. So, but like Rock, you don't necessarily want to lean on Rock or Noyes playing 20 minutes a game, 25 minutes a game. So that's where the depth comes in, and it has proven again this year. It is good to get old. It just is. Hey, look.
Well, that's what I love about Jackson. He's 23.
Yeah. Yep. He's 23. He's got potentially 2 years, by the way, which is good. But yeah, you want to get old. And so I think Iowa State knows the window's not closing. Holds on to everybody that we think. You're looking at a top 10 team again next year. There's no question. Jackson reinforces that. Now you can be really strategic about the pieces you get. And Iowa State has proven that Kyle Green, TJ, and this staff do an unbelievable job of developing players. And so I think that the word is out. And if you listen to any of the guys now, they brought it up a couple times in Kansas City. It's back to focus town. It's like, you go to Iowa State, you're not there for flash. You're not there for dollar bills. You're there to work, get better, and turn yourself into a pro and also win a lot of games. And that's a selling point. And that's where I always come from on the collective side. It's like, we don't need to be first. We're never going to be first. We can't be last. We have to give these coaches an opportunity for all those other things to come into place. And TJ is proving, and the staff is proving, they'll get it done from there.
Well, definitely a good start. If you would have told me that they would have had a guy like Jackson booked before the end of the season, like that, that's a great, great head start to get into.
Yeah, and great point about they're not done. There's going to be more movement. I again, just like football, caution people not to overreact to every little piece of news.
Yeah, it's just so different than what it was. And I think most fans are up on that, but not all. Like, just the days of guys waiting around for their to play in their third and fourth year getting fewer. And I don't necessarily know if I blame them. So, anyways.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I mean, Chris, I'm telling you, the numbers being floated out there for some of the high-end guys is insane right now. Just completely insane. And so that you don't know what's real, though. I mean, some of these Big East schools, they're working with a bunch of money, like a bunch of money. And you've got a Kansas and a Kentucky who are literally going to pay for two starting fives this offseason. So the competition is real. That's why I'm very, very glad that Iowa State locked up Jackson now, because I think the numbers are only going to go up as the supply goes down.
I want to thank our friends at the Iowa State University Foundation. Remind you all that Forever True Day is coming up in April. We're going to be rallying our troops to make as many donations as we possibly can.
I got my Ivy College of Business coffee.
One's going to be given to the Ivy College of Business right there. I could see I've done them the last couple of years. I'm sure I'll make a donation to them as well. Forever True Day. I want you guys to remember that. Also want to thank our friends at Gravitate Coworking. Check them out at gravitatecoworking.com for all of your coworking needs in the Des Moines Metro and elsewhere. And hopewoodjd.com. You can get a will in a day. It's March Madness. You got to get those wills done, people. You just don't know. You could drop dead of a heart attack tomorrow if the clones have it. You really could. I know it's crude, but it's the reality of what we're living in. And last but certainly not least, my buddy Jeff Kelderman over at Kelderman Manufacturing. Check them out at kelderman.com. They customize big ass diesel trucks is one of the things they do down there in Oskaloosa. One of the many things that they do. I want to tell you about their laser cutting that they do for engineers all across the great state of Iowa and the Midwest, Kelderman.com. And, of course, our presenting sponsor, Mechdyne. Iowa State and Illinois coming up in the Sweet 16. The Cyclones are still 2.5-point favorites. Looking at KenPom right now, Iowa State is a 1-point favorite. But, Brent, the storyline here is quite simple.
It is.
It's number one defense versus number one offense. Notable, you have two of the hottest teams in college basketball. Illinois has not lost since they went to Purdue, or they hosted Purdue on March 5th. They hadn't lost prior to that than February 21st. So they're they're red hot. And then, of course, Iowa State is in the same category with their last loss was on the 9th of March to Kansas State on the road. We all remember that clunker. And then prior to that, it was at Houston on February the 19th. So you genuinely have two of the best teams in college basketball, definitely two of the hottest. And this is the best matchup in the Sweet 16, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I've got rooting interest here. I think this game's fascinating. I think it's dynamic. I actually thought it was really cool that they chose to put this game as the nightcap. I know it makes your bedtime a little bit later. And old Danny Hurley, see, he kind of had a Bitterman moment where he's upset that they had the early game because he wanted.
Really?
Yeah. He's basically, well, the committee's making us earn it. We know what they're doing. It's like, buddy,
why would they do that?
I don't. The committee has nothing to do with the TV times, Hurley.
Isn't it an advantage to play the early game?
Well, he's saying we need more rest.
Well,
but yes, you're right.
I could see that argument, but wouldn't you rather play at 7 as opposed to?
I'm telling you, Chris, you know this. Coaches are the most paranoid individuals of all time. Like, they think everything is against them. And the fact is, Iowa State and Illinois is going to get great, great viewing audience because it's going to be a heck of a game with two great styles. I think this is completely fascinating. You've got an Illinois offense that has scored more than 85 points in all but four games this year. Iowa State has only allowed more than 85 twice this year, or maybe just once. Like, it might just be once, and that was the BYU game. So it is literally the definition of offense versus defense. I don't know. I don't know what to think. You know what this game reminds me of a little bit? And it's not to the exact extent. But actually, 8 years ago, Iowa State played Virginia in the Sweet 16. You were there in Chicago. Iowa State had that elite offense. The defense was 92nd in the country. Illinois comes in at 93rd in the country this year.
I saw that.
And again, their defense has been better. But generally, if you're in the 90s, it's hard. I mean, you're giving up a bunch of easy baskets. They do not force turnovers. Iowa State is going to get some great looks. It's just a matter of, can you make those? So there's two numbers I'm looking at here. It's the number of Illinois turnovers. If it's 15 or above, I really like Iowa State's chances. And then quite simply, it's how many threes is Iowa State going to make? Or what's Iowa State's field goal percentage? Maybe is the better stat. If that's above 45%, I think Iowa State can win. Iowa State's going to get good looks. Can Iowa State make those? Because Illinois is going to score. The number is interesting. It's Vegas thinks this is 74-72. And so that's where we're looking at. I mean, we're looking at a game in the 70s. Can Iowa State have enough ammo to get there? I think that's a good question.
It's just an example, though, of what we've been talking about, where Iowa State has a chance at this one because it's the well-rounded team. You know, and so if you're just going
top 50 in both,
exactly. This goes back to the conversations we were having in January and December about being top 50 in both. And Illinois is like what Iowa State was in the Hoiberg years, where it was like, man, if you get really hot, you could make a run and win this thing. But it's difficult, again, to have like a clunker in March where you don't shoot well or something if you can't stop people.
They remind me a lot of those Gonzaga teams over the last decade, where Gonzaga will just steamroll somebody, and then they run into a game where they're not making shots, and their defense is awful, and they can't get over the top. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is interesting. Illinois absolutely is loaded. They're great. Shannon Damask, Hawkins.
So good.
All good. It's just, can Iowa State's physicality and defense win the day? And then, like we talked about, officiating matters. And we won't know who the officials are until Thursday. I've had a couple people reach out, and so they'll release that a couple hours before the game.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure.
You got this. Adidas.
The tip times are interesting to me. And the only reason I'd say this is I heard Greg McDermott. He was on the Field of 68's podcast the other night.
That's the Goodman one, right?
Yeah, it was like Fanta and a couple other guys. Goodman wasn't on this one, but
got it.
Same publication. And McDermott points out, he's like, yeah, you know, and I don't know how to feel about this. It's these coaches, like you talk about, they're all insane. But like, if Iowa State, Mac's point is like, we're tipping off so late. We're going to get back to our hotel late. At 2:30 in the morning. And then have to play middle of the afternoon in 24 hours, basically, like, or a little more than 24 hours. It is a grind. And that's why I was actually going into this. It's like, man, UConn has a real advantage playing that early game. That's so funny that you said that.
Yeah, Hurley, it was like a minute and a half rant about how everyone's against him. It's like, no, pal, calm down. No, it's late. And then you're on the East Coast now.
It's going to be 10:20, 10:30 when we tip off locally.
The good thing is, I'll have to look that up real quick. I think the game on Saturday would be a night game. So it's not like, I mean, the Friday, Sunday is a little bit harder because those are going to be in the mid-afternoon.
Yeah, good point. And that's what Mac was referring to.
But I mean,
I think he plays on Sunday.
You still, Iowa State. So Iowa State's going to tip off at, let's just tell people how this works. They'll tip off at 10:09 East Coast time. Game gets over, let's say, at 12:30. You have a half hour cooling off period, hour of media. Yeah, Iowa State's not getting to its hotel room until 2:30 in the morning. And then you have to practice and do media the next day. And again, these guys are young, but it does matter. And so I do think that extra two and a half hours is a bit of an advantage, especially in what no doubt will be a very physical game. Iowa State's best recipe to win this game is to be just slugfest, get in a half court. Like, Iowa State wants this thing in the 60s and make Illinois come to you. I thought Mick Cronin had a great point. He was on Cowherd yesterday, and he said, the great thing about Iowa State is they can make you slow dance, and not everybody wants to slow dance. Iowa State can do it. And I think that, again, this is all coming back to the same thing. Can you win in multiple ways? Iowa State can. Illinois has not proven it yet in this tournament. They really haven't been in a slugfest, though, so we'll see how they can perform. If you're an Iowa State fan, you're optimistic that the physicality and the level of toughness in the Big 12 is just different than the Big 10.
Bloom, what do you think happens matchup-wise? I admittedly haven't looked into this enough. Is this as simple as, I don't know, who do you put on Shannon?
Yeah, I was just talking with our buddy Adam Gray about that this morning.
Who do you put on Shannon? Who do you put on Damask? And you know, the big guys, I don't know. You got the little point guard too, the freshman who plays some. But yeah, no, don't you put Keyshawn on Shannon at this point, the way he's playing?
Or honestly, this is what I would think about. Gilbert would be great. No doubt. I don't want Gilbert in foul trouble, though. I trust Taman here.
Well, it's one of those two guys.
Yeah, it's one of those two. I mean, I know Taman would be undersized, but I think Taman could really frustrate him, get up underneath him and make him earn it. But you got to worry about foul trouble with all those guys. I mean, you're going to look at Shannon. He is going to shoot. You just wait. He's going to shoot 30 times in this game.
Well, the correct answer is, it'll be a team effort.
It'll be everybody, and Curtis will get a run at him. And there's a world where DeMarion Watson is the.
That's what I was just gonna say.
Yeah,
he throw him. He checks in the first at the 16 and under, right?
Yes, you're.
This
you're gonna,
is one of those games.
It is. He's gonna play a lot because he's got. Because even Damask is a big dude. He's a big guard. You know, at 6'6", and you know, not quite as athletic as Shannon, but still can pose some problems for an undersized guard. I think the fascinating question is, who out of those guys stays in front of Iowa State? I mean, I think this will be Iowa State's best offense is potentially just to spread them out and drive it, because I like my chances with Gilbert, Lipsy, and Jones going downhill at Damask. Damask is not a great defender, and we'll see if they can stay in front. And so while we're worried about Shannon and Damask, they have to be wondering, gosh, how do we stay in front of those three little guards for Iowa State who can really cause problems? Because, again, Illinois is just not real deep either. So foul trouble is going to be an issue on both sides.
The officiating, we made a big deal out of this. Both of us had the same idea on Sunday night that that's going to just be a factor. It's not an excuse for either team. It's just when I watch Houston, Texas A&M, it's a factor, right? And we've talked about this. How do you think these types of games usually get officiated, Blue?
Yeah,
like you know this more than most. Does it just depend on the crew? Does it depend on the crowd? What do you think?
So two things. It does. It's all variable. Officials are graded just like teams are. So if you advance to the Sweet 16 as an official, you are considered one of the best. I think there's 40 left officials left in the tournament. So you're getting really good officials that have all probably worked high end games. But you know, the thing that surprised me, I think officials largely been hands off in this tournament. You know, sometimes
other than that Houston game,
the Houston game has been the one off. But otherwise it's been, I think, fairly physical. What does that mean? I don't think there's been mandates from the top down of saying, hey, you guys need to clean this up. It's been very much, hey, let them play, which is actually good for Iowa State. I do think you're going to see Brad Underwood, like I talked about on Sunday, lobby early in that game to get the handshakes call, because that is the way, if Iowa State's able to just, you know, really out physical them, they're not going to win. And so he knows his only way is to get that handshake called on the perimeter and let his guys go to the free throw line. Because what Illinois is not, C-Dub, they are 360th, which is almost dead last in the country, in turnover percentage defense. They are not a physical defense. And that's where I think Iowa State's best offense, maybe just getting to the rim and trying to get to the free throw line, because you're not going to get pressured by these guys.
Other Big 12 team, Whipple's Hybrids, Big 12 segment here on Williams and Bloom Wednesday on a Tuesday. As I am stuck,
did you get
out to Boston?
Did you get a $14 beer at the airport?
No, I haven't yet. It's too early. If I drink beer at noon, I better get ready to. I better have 15 of them, or I'm going to bed.
I always pose this question every time I'm in an airport. What do you think gets more consumption at an airport, coffee or beer?
Coffee, because everybody drinks coffee,
right? But you only usually drink one coffee.
You don't drink 10.
You don't drink 10 coffees.
It always blows my mind. Like when I flew back from the Liberty Bowl this year, I booked a flight. It was, I mean, it's like one of those, like, 7 a.m.
You jetted early. I think I was still having a beverage.
I was in Des Moines by the time you woke up. It's these people at the bar at like 6 a.m. just drinking beer. I'll take an IPA. Thickest one you got. I mean, maybe there was a day where I could have done that, but I don't even remember it. Like, these people will drink beer at any hour of the day. It's incredible.
Well, I think it's a psychological. I think it's like an anxiety thing for some people.
Yeah, it's a fear. I get it. I understand that.
But
I mean, it's not great health to be like, I know.
And I'm always amazed. Alcohol. What always amazes me is these airport bars are open at that time.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, bring it on.
It's unbelievable.
Give me an IPA.
I do like this Des Moines airport. They've got the little bar areas now. That's where I'm sitting
nice.
Doing
They've
this.
Yeah, it's nice. Enough. Yeah. Just need some name vlogger in there.
The parking situation here, though, they got to keep adding. Like, it's getting brutal in Des Moines.
Like, did you end up in the auxiliary lot?
Yeah, just way out there. But, like, there's nothing you could do. Like, whatever. Whiffles Hybrids, Big 12 segment. Shout out to all of our friends from Whiffles out there who are getting ready to plant in just a couple of weeks. One other Big 12 team left in the NCAA tournament. That's Houston. They are playing Duke Friday night. That's a late one on Friday night, looking at about a 8:39 tip locally. And this is an interesting game, because the one thing people say about Duke is that they're soft. It's not a tough team. I have no idea if that's true. I haven't watched them enough to know. But I know that, boy, doesn't it? I have a feeling. I think you could definitely go one of two ways on Houston. I think a lot of people would be like, man, they're so beat up. They're missing Tugler in the middle.
Yeah.
They, you know, I don't even know what they're going to give you. They're done. They're cooked. I would go the other way with this game. No, I don't know how I would go on Sunday.
Totally agree.
I think that they kill Duke. I think they blow this team out.
Let me just put this in context because people say Duke's soft. Duke is 18th in defense. Illinois is 93. Okay. So, I mean, that's like we're doing degrees here, and that's how much Illinois really hasn't guarded. To your point, I agree. I think Houston's got 3 days of rest. They're going to be ready to go. And generally, when they've been rested and ready to go, they can beat anybody. I think Duke's a nice program. It's still young. They've got some guys that have played at a high level. They'll have a couple lottery picks off this team. But give me Samson over Shire here in this, and a motivated Houston team. They're favored by 5, which seems like a lot, but I think that's a lot for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we're going to see.
Do you think they make the Final Four? Do we have one Big 12 team in the Final Four?
Oh, man. I'll
be honest. I have a hard time seeing Iowa State beating UConn. I hope I'm wrong. It's just I've seen the matchup. Actually, I have. That's a stupid comment. Totally different teams compared to the ones we saw last year.
It is, but would they? They're very similar.
They're better than last year. And I think they're playing at their highest level. One teensy tiny little nugget. No idea if it's true. I know these teams share information in the NCAA tournament. Who's a team that had a lot of success against UConn this year? Creighton. McDermott. There's a lot of relationships on those two staffs. Just a teensy, as my little girl Lise would say, a teensy tiny little thing there. I would be surprised. I would be, I'll eat the most crow in the world and be the happiest human you ever seen. But it seems far fetched. It seems like a long shot. Iowa State was like 20-1 to win the national championship, 10th in the Sweet 16. They're not the 10th best team. They're better than that. But Vegas is saying, man, you got to get past UConn to do it.
Exactly. I saw people, where's Iowa State? Yeah, odds. It's like, well, it's not because of the talent. It's because UConn's sitting there. I want to see it. I think Iowa State gets past Illinois. I really do. Give me Iowa State as the underdog. I think it'd be the great story to knock off the defending champions to get to a Final Four. I think it'd be
would
really
you
neat.
Fly out there on Saturday?
Yes.
If Iowa State is playing in the Elite Eight, can we get you on the record?
Do you have a couch?
Yeah, you can stay with me.
You have a floor? Yes.
Yeah.
If Iowa State is playing
for free,
if Iowa State
fly out there on Friday.
If Iowa State's playing in a Final Four, I'll be there.
You fly out there on Friday. I'll get done working. We can go to one of those like Paul Revere bars Friday night and watch the Houston game.
Pretend we're Benjamin Franklin. Is that right? No,
dude,
Sam Adams.
You know I love Benjamin Franklin, right? He's like my all-time icon. If I could have a beer with one person in human history, it's
see that light.
Benjamin
see
Franklin.
That light up there? I appreciate
yeah.
it.
I
would not do well with just candles. I know me. Would
You'd
not
burn
well.
The place down. It'd be unbelievable. I saw you during the derecho. It was a disaster.
I was a disaster.
Now, me and your wife, we were
you
thriving.
Were fine. You guys were good. Yeah.
We were loving it. It was like walking around with our shirts off.
You're
drinking.
I'm glad one of you had your shirt off.
That one picture that Crystal took of me and the great. Kids.
I've never spent a night in Boston. What better way to celebrate, I would say, going to a Final Four than a night out in Boston?
With
you know who's going to be out there? I think our guy T3, remember T3?
T3 is hooking up Steve Kemp with a bar.
So we got
a Cyclone Fanatic watch party bar for those that Steve's putting it all over the forums.
I think what's that? Okay, let's just hypotheticals. We don't play the game, so we're just looking ahead. Iowa State, UConn. UConn's favored by 7-6.
Hmm.
They're in Boston. I mean, they're favored by 11 over San Diego.
I would say 7-8.
7-8.
Because I think the analytics would come in at 5-6, and then they would get a bump because of the crowd, would be my guess.
The thing is, everyone's going to run into something. You know,
everybody's going to step in shit at some point.
Everybody steps in shit. So I know they've been untouchable. They're gonna deal with it. And maybe it's San Diego State, honestly. San Diego State has some physicality to give them some problems. But I'm excited. This can be you get. This is why we follow college sports. It's weeks like this.
Everybody, Rob, come wave at everybody on the pod. Rob Gray's waiting on it. Say hi to Bloom.
Hey, there's buddy.
Rob, best sports writer in the state of Iowa, right
no
there.
No question.
All right, let's get after it, Bloom. If Iowa State wins, we'll do a. We're gonna pod at some point before the Elite Eight.
Yes, we'll figure it out. Maybe over Sam Adams.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna go to their tap room tonight and have dinner, but I don't think I'm gonna be there in time now because everything.
What's the media situation tomorrow for people to want coverage?
What do you mean?
Like, when's Iowa State?
Oh, Iowa State is middle of the afternoon. Okay. So it'll be early afternoon, Central Iowa time. I want to say they're on the floor at like 3, but have press conferences at like 2. So we'll have our stuff out there and look for a lot of video interviews from me, like we kind of been doing. You know, I feel weird writing like 1,000-word columns now because it's like I'm doing these podcasts all the time and I'm just going to be writing what I'm saying. So I'm like, let's just get the guys on camera and let them give us.
Let them go. Thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah. And they've gotten very comfortable with that. So I would love to, I used to, not anymore, get after Matt Schultz about this. He's great. He's sports information director. He's a really good buddy of mine. But like the locker room access is a great tool for growing your brand. If I'm the director of NIL in the future, I'm pushing for that, to put these guys and gals in their faces and personalities up front and center.
Look what the attention Audie got, which is great and well deserved.
I know they bring him up on the podium, but what I'm telling you is after doing this for 20 years, they react to you differently on the podium than they do one-on-one in the locker room.
Well, that's what I would encourage people. I know people do listen to the post game on radio, is you really get a glimpse into
how
like these guys are super bright, super. That's why I'm so excited for them to have this success, because it's a great group of people. I agree. Great point.
And I would also make the point that Monday night coaches show, or I don't even know when it is because I don't listen to it anymore. The Learfield one. If you want like great insight from the coaches, that's the show to listen to.
Yep.
Because they're so comfortable with John and Eric, and now they changed the format where it's not like Cyclone and Jerry asking them what they had for dinner. It's like real, especially with Campbell. Otz is kind of a robot these days. Campbell gives you gold in those deals. And like the pregame on Learfield, like he's so open, he's with really Walters good on those, but it's just, you know, and a lot of those things, it's like people don't consume that stuff as much because you get it all week. It's the media thing is just fascinating. Those are still really good products though. I would encourage people to
real quick, spring practice going well, just so I think,
well, you know,
we're kind of ignoring, like, football is going on and it's going very well. I think everyone should be very excited about the potential for this team. I know they're pretty pumped up right now.
Oh man, can we just get one sport over with?
No, we're going till April 6th, buddy boy.
Jiminy Christmas. Like this crossover has been maybe the most difficult ever, though, because the women were so good. Wrestling's top 5. It's not difficult in a bad way. It's just there's so much to do. We don't have the manpower.
Well, and then
and woman power with Jacqueline, God bless her, to get it all like done properly.
And then the quick turnaround for you, because normally the last couple times, obviously, it's played on a Friday in the Sweet 16, not a Thursday. So everything's pushed up a day. So
I tell you what, and people don't care, I'm traveling around the country watching my favorite team. It's not
covering basketball.
Yeah, this is not hard stuff I'm doing. The hard part is when you have that long stay in Kansas City, and this year it was extra long because I was there from Monday to Sunday, come back, fly out Tuesday, or not fly out, drive to Omaha Tuesday, gone, get back Sunday, and then gone again on Tuesday. So my little girls think that
where'd daddy go?
Actually, it's so funny. You'll laugh at this. And thank you to you and your wife, by the way, who've been bailing us out time and time again. The Blooms keep picking up my kids and stuff, which is phenomenal. Thank you. I owe you. I'm going to Venmo you for McDonald's too later.
Okay, perfect.
What was I?
You can pay for me too. Can you pay for me too?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Elise comes up to me last night and says, "Cause, Daddy, when the tournament's over, can I start sleeping in my underwear?"
Why not now?
Got her potty trained. It's all it took. It's all it took.
Thank you. Thank you, Uncle TJ, for that.
Yeah. No shit.
If he's not around. Well, hey, buddy, safe travels. You and Rob.
Appreciate
hold it down.
Yeah.
And I will
actually,
plan
we're
this.
All here. Bussy's here from 247. Proin's here. Jeff's here from Channel 8. We're all
on the same flight.
The only one who is already there is Hines, because he flew out like first thing this morning before all this weather kicked
off. He's an elitist. It's okay. He's smarter than the rest of you.
He's already in Boston. I already got a text from him, so he's chill.
Well, have fun, and I will plan to see you on Friday afternoon, Friday evening over at Sam Adams while we prep for the Elite Eight.
Giddy up, baby.
All right.
He's Brent Bloom. Thanks to Aiden Wyatt. Little improvisation Wednesday pod on a Tuesday. We're presented, as always, by our friends at MechDyne. We are fueled by Cody Road Bourbon here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.